Now, verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now, John says, the way that you can tell whether one is a child of God is the fact that eventually that man will show his true colors and he will leave the assembly of God. He'll withdraw from the Christians, from a body of believers, and he'll go right back into the world. Now, we saw in 2 Peter the parable of the prodigal pig. You see, not only did a son get down in the pig pen, but a little pig, according to Peter, got washed. He says, a sow that was washed. That little girl pig that went up to the father's house, became very religious, got all cleaned up with, you know, a pink bow around her neck, and her teeth were washed with Pepsodent. Well, she didn't like the father's house because she's a pig. And the little pig one day said, I'm going to rise and go to my father, my old man. And he was down in a big loblolly of mud. And the little old pig went home, and when he saw the old man, just made a squeal and took a leap and landed in the mud right by the side of him. Why? Because it's a pig. They went out from us because they were not of us. You think that's a harsh, cruel statement, but it happens to be a true statement today. Oh, there are many that make professions of being Christian, but they're not really Christians, friends. But you must remember, it was said of Judas, and the Lord said this of him, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. Right here, at that first communion service, there was a traitor there. It was Judas Iscariot. And he was one that was identified with the group. In John 6:70, it says, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a demon? Now, he was never anything else. He looked like an apostle. He acted like an apostle. And I think that he had power to perform miracles. He went out with the others, and they were not able to identify him as being a phony. But he was. Now, that's a very solemn and serious statement that's made here. And it's made for you and me today. The Lord Jesus said to that very religious man, you must be born again. He said to Nicodemus that night, except a man be born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. And John says they went out from us. They were not of us. They looked like it, but they actually were not. And the real test, of course, was the Word of God. And it ought to cause every Christian today, I don't care who you are, including this poor preacher here that's speaking to you today. And the question is, have I really faced up to my sins in the light of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have I come to God in repentance, owning my guilt and acknowledging my iniquity? And have I cast myself upon Him and Him only for my salvation? Have I evidence in my life of being a regenerate soul of God? Do I love the Word of God? Do I want the Word of God? Is it bread to me? Is it meat to me? Is it drink to me? Do I love the brethren? And do I love the Lord Jesus Christ? These are the things, my friend. And the Word of God enjoins us in this particular connection. And I think it's very important for us. You remember that in Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse 15, Paul makes it very clear, after presenting justification by faith in no uncertain terms, he says, but in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. Now, you can't even boast of the grace of God and say today, oh, I don't believe in church membership. I don't believe in baptism. I don't believe in those things. All right, those things are of no avail because you say you don't believe in them. The question is, have you really been born again? Or are you one of those that are trusting these things today? My friend, the important question is, are you a new creation in Christ Jesus? And then you remember Paul speaking to the Corinthians, and some of them had reason to believe they might not be children of God. He says in 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verse 5, examine yourselves whether you are in the faith. Prove yourselves. Know ye not yourselves how Jesus Christ is in you, unless you're discredited? Do you really know today that you're a child of God? May I say, friends, this is very important that God's children know these things. Let's look at another verse over in 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, verse 13. Listen to him. He's speaking to believers. Watch, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Friend, how are you doing with the Christian life? Are you really a child of God today? Is there evidence in your life that you are a child of God? I'm not talking about whether you've committed a sin or not. What did you do after you committed the sin? Did you keep on in it? Did you continue on in sin? Well, the son got in a pig pen, but friends, he didn't continue there. That was not his permanent address. If you had mailed him a letter after he'd been there for a few weeks and months, unless the pigs had forwarded it, he wouldn't have got it because that's not his permanent address. He's going home. And the child of God, after he sinned, is going to God with hot tears coursing down his cheek, crying out to God. And my friend, if he doesn't, he's not God's child. God's child today has to hate sin. This light view that we have today is just something that is not quite accurate. And I'm afraid that there are many church members that are just taking it for granted that they're children of God because they're as active as termites in the church and just about with the same effect as termites. But let me pass this little story on to you. I've heard it told several different ways. I do not know which way is accurate or not. But years ago in London, down in the slums, there was a woman of the underworld, a prostitute. She had a little son. She became terribly sick, and she was frightened because she knew she was dying. And she sent her little son to get a minister to come and, as she put it, to get her in. She told the little fella, "You go get a minister to get me in." And the little fella went out looking for a church. He had to go a long ways before he found a very imposing-looking church. He went around to the rectory there in London, and the minister came to the door when he rang the bell, and the minister looked at this little urchin and said, "What do you want?" "My old lady," he says, "is dying, and she wants you to come and get her in." Well, the minister thought at first to get her into a hospital, that she was probably drunk somewhere. And he says, "Why, get some policeman. It's raining tonight, and I don't want to get out, but get some policeman to get her in to her home." And the little fella says, "She's already at home. She's not drunk. She's in her own bed, and she's dying. And she wants somebody to get her in, and she wants me to get a minister, and would you come?" And the minister was stunned for a moment because he was a liberal. And he knew that he should go. He couldn't turn down requests like that. So he got his coat and umbrella, and he went with the little fella, and they walked and walked and came to that very poor section of London and finally found the creaky stairs that led to an upstairs bedroom. And the minister, all the way over, he thought, "Well, what will I say to her? I can't say to her what I've always preached to my people. I've told them that they are people of culture and refinement and that they are to keep that up, of course, and to continue to be very cultured and refined. What in the world can I say?" And he said, "I can't tell her to reform. She ought to be reformed, but It's too late now. What can I tell her? And he remembered that as a boy, that his mother always quoted John 3:16. And in desperation, he got his Bible when he sat down by the side of this woman and turned to John 3:16, and it actually wasn't too familiar to him, and he read it to her. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. And the dear woman wanted to go over it. She said, "You mean that the type of person I am, all I'd have to do is just trust Jesus?" And he said, "Well, that's what it says here. And it says that God gave his Son and that he gave him to die on a cross. It says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." He said, "I see that here. So that's what you're to do." And this dear woman, before she died, right there, she accepted Christ as a Savior. And the preacher that was there told the story afterward. He said, "And that night, I not only got her in, but I got myself in." May I say to you, friends, are you sure that you're in? Are you sure that you've trusted him and that he is your Savior? I know some people are going to write me an ugly letter and say, "You got no right to ask us questions like that because we've been members of the church 30 years. Well, I think that you ought to examine yourself and see whether you're in the faith or not. I think it's wonderful to make an inventory and find out where you were. One summer, we didn't know where we were financially because we'd been without an auditor here to help us. And then when we got one, we found out that we thought we were just sailing along on nice blue seas, and we weren't. We were in the red somewhat, and thank the Lord, we got to it in time, and we got out of the red. Thank the Lord for that. But it's because we examined our condition, and we thought we were all right. And friends, I think a great many Christians today, at least church members, they need to examine themselves. Are you really in the faith? You really trust Christ? Somebody says, "You're robbing me of my assurance of salvation." My friends, I believe in the security of believers, but I believe in the insecurity of make-believers. And I think that we need to examine ourselves and see what kind of a believer we really are.